That's a brother of Radharani's so-called husband, Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu, the word Abhimanyu means always angry. And her brother is Durmad. Abhimanyu's brother is Durmad. And Durmad means very foolish, very stupid, full of faults. So you can imagine, after 3 months of such relatives, you'd run out. You want to get away from there. So for Maghmas this month, and then Falgun and Chaitra Vaishak. Chaitra is, of course, this is springtime, Vasant Panchami. For these 40 days from Vasant Panchami until Gorpurnim, which we call Gorpurnim, what they call Holi Purnim, this is 40 days, which is less than 3 months, obviously. But these 40 days are the celebration of spring, Vasant, Vasant Rag, Vasant Panchami, all the mango blossoms, the mangoes have become blossoms, and the cuckoos are waking up from a long winter's sleep, the coil and the cuckoos. And the first thing you do when you wake up is you eat something, at least if you're not a devotee. Of course, if you're a devotee, you eat the holy name. You chew on the holy name for a couple hours. And after relishing that, then you take some other substance to maintain your body, some prasad. So the coils are sleeping and the cuckoos, and then they eat the mango buds and they become ecstatic, they become happy. And they start singing very romantic tunes. Their voice is very seductive. The cuckoo's voice. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It sounds like lovers at the time of union. So it's very intimate and very much udipan. It's an excitant or stimulant or reminder of the intimate moments shared by lovers. So springtime is a time of love and a time of fresh youth, you can say. Nature is showing its youthful feature in springtime. So for these 40 days, Radharani spends in Varshana, and she can freely move in and out of the house, no difficulty. Sometimes we think maybe she comes to Varshana so she can take darshan of all the Russian devotees. Because all the Russian devotees come to India at this time during Falgun Mas. Because it's Falgun Mas, or Falgun Maina. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Avirbhav Tithi, Purnima, what we call Holy Purnima in India. The Gaudi Vaishnavas, they refer to it as Gaur Purnima, the Purnima of Lord Chaitanya. But mostly it's known as Holy Purnima. So it's a very wonderful time, very happy time. When you're free from restrictions and free from bondage, a bird out of the cage feels happier than a bird in the cage. I think everyone can understand that. If you have a caged bird, he doesn't sing much or fly much. Certainly he doesn't fly much. And birds are made to what? What do birds do? They do two things. What do they do? What do birds do?
Sing and fly.
Sing and fly. Or fly now and sing later. Or sing while they fly. Anyway, if you're in a cage, if birds in a cage, there's two things they don't do. They don't sing and they don't fly. So when Radharani's in her mother-in-law's house, she's like a caged parrot. She doesn't sing and she can't fly. She wants to sing about Krishna, but she's repressed. She can't. And she wants to fly to Krishna's feet and perch herself on the limbs, the branches of his body, and perch herself there and stay there and sing the glories of his sweet beauty and sweet caress. But confined in her mother-in-law's house, all of that is quite restricted. So she's like a caged parrot. So when Radharani comes back home, back to Varshana, Radharani also goes back to Godhead. Radharani also comes back home, back to Godhead. Back home means back to Varshana. That's her home and that's her Godhead, because she can offer her head at the feet of God, and God can offer his head at her feet. God's head at her feet. So that's Godhead. God's head should be at Radha's feet. And very rarely, at least we never want to see it, even if it ever happened. We never want to see Radharani's head at Krishna's feet. I never heard of such a thing. It's not possible. Not for our Swamini. But Krishna has no alternative but to Dehi Padapalavam Udaram Atapam. Jayadeva Goswami says in Gita Govinda that Krishna not only takes Radharani's feet and puts her feet on his head, but he begs for it. He says, Dehipad, Dehipad, Dehipad. Oh, Radharani, please give me your feet, give me your feet, give me your feet. Everyone prays to God, oh Bhagavan Shiv, oh Bhagavan Narayan, oh Bhagavan Ram, give me this, give me that, give me this, Dhanam Dehi, Janam Dehi, give me money, give me wealth, give me followers, give me position, give me power, give me. Or give to me. And then now if we look a little closer into the life and heart of the very person they're petitioning, the very person they're beseeching, the Bhagavan Sri Krishna, the Omnipotent One, the Omniscient One, omniscient means he knows everything, he's everywhere, and he has all power. So now if we look at the heart and mind of the one who knows everything, has all power, where everyone's asking for so many things, material objects and things from him, now we see, is he in any want? Is the Lord of Lakshmi, does he have any want? Lakshmi Pati Vaikunthanath, is he wanting anything? Is he in dearth? Is he in dearth or is he in need of anything? And he's saying, yes, he's actually missing something. He's saying, oh Radha, oh Radharani, please give me your feet. Dehipad. Dehi means give. Give me your feet. So God, who everyone wants something from, he simply wants Radharani's feet. And he wants to put them on his head as an ornament. So 6:36. So Krishna now, he's come back from the cows, and this is he has his bath because he's been out playing all day. And usually when children come home after playing all day, their mother makes them take a bath. They say, listen, take a bath and come and take dinner. Oh, do I have to take a bath? So this, what has happened is Radharani, she wants to know the news. What's the news? What's the news? What's the news? What's happening? What's happening? You went there and saw this and that? Now please, you tell me what you saw. So one Manjari, her name is Tulsi Manjari. She's a Raghunath Das, Manjari Sarup, also known as Rati Manjari. And Rati Manjari's other name is Tulsi Manjari. So Tulsi had a good opportunity, or good fortune rather, to be in Nandagram when Krishna returned from cowherding. So she's what we call anchorman, news anchorman, or anchor woman, let's say, because she's a gopi. And she was on the scene. She was the correspondent, BBC correspondent for Nandagaon. And she was right there, and she was there seeing news being made, news in action, eyewitness news. And so she saw everything, how Krishna came back, how Yashoda greeted Krishna, how Yashoda lovingly, carefully, tenderly served Krishna, how much motherly love Yashoda has for Krishna. She witnessed it all, and she recorded it all with her camcorder, you know, her digital camera, and recorded it. And then she came back. She immediately went. She rushed out to Barsana to give the news directly to the studio, Radharani's studio. So she was telling Radharani, she said, listen, Radha, because Radharani, that's like we want to know the news. If someone goes somewhere and they saw something, a big fight, or they saw a big cricket match, oh, you went to the cricket match, what did you see, what happened, who won this match? So Radharani, the only news she wants to hear, she doesn't want to hear world news or local news or city news or Indian news or sports or politics or movies or anything. She only wants to hear Krishna Samachar. Krishna Samachar. What is the news of Krishna? Krishna Dinak. Or they say Jagaran. Dinak Jagaran, daily news or something. They have these things, newspaper names. So Radharani, she only wants to hear, what's the news about Krishna? And she's always searching for Krishna, searching her heart for Krishna. And because she can find Krishna in every corner of her heart, that's not very difficult to find. But she looks deeper and deeper in different parts of her heart to find Krishna in different ways, newer and newer expressions of his love. Because Krishna's love is always unfolding in Radharani's heart. Krishna's love is always acting there and playing there and moving in her heart, so she has to search. Because her heart is nothing but Vrindavan Dham. Her heart is the abode of Krishna, and Krishna plays in Radharani's heart. Krishna is always playing in Radharani's heart. And in playing, they have a type of game called hide and seek. I hide and you seek. You close your eyes, you close your eyes and count to 100. And I'll go hide, and then you try to find me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So then, thank you. So Radharani does the same thing. I mean, Radha Krishna does the same thing. He plays hide and seek with Radharani in her own heart. So how can you imagine, how can someone hide from you when they're inside your heart? But it's very easy because Krishna is a magician. Magicians can do the impossible. They can pull a rabbit out of a hat. They can take a hat and pull out a rabbit, and they can show you the hat. See the hat? You can put the hat on your head. Put the hat on your head. Put your hand all around it, and you don't see any rabbit. They say, "See this hat? You see any rabbit? See? Put it on your head. No rabbit? Okay, watch this. Abracadabra, alakazam." And then they take out this rabbit. See? You know, oh my God, it's magic. So Krishna's like that. Abracadabra, alakazam. Abracadabra, alakasham. So even Radharani has to search for Krishna in her heart. So now Tulsi is giving this news that, listen, Radha, Krishna, Yashoda was staying in the palace courtyard, carefully instructing the young house servants dedicated to Krishna's pleasure. One servant, in extreme exhilaration, took Krishna's buffalo horn, flute, and stick, because Krishna's coming back with all these things. He's holding his cow herding stick and his buffalo horn for calling the cows. A second servant removed Krishna's flower garland. Another fortunate one removed Krishna's ornaments. One servant took off Krishna's turban and belt and brushed the dust from his limbs, which is, of course, the Goduli, Brajaraj. Another one blissfully cleansed Shyam's face and feet with a piece of cloth and then combed his hair. Other skillful and devoted servants smiled slightly as they gently massaged Krishna's body from head to toe with colored perfumed oils. One servant with a mixture of sandalwood, kunkum, and concentrated camphor. One servant learned in the ways of love, anointed Krishna's resplendent body with a mixture of sandalwood, kunkum, and powdered camphor. That's quite cooling. One servant rinsed Krishna's hair with aromatic amalaki juice and bathed him in sandal-scented water. Sounds quite luxurious. One affectionate servant dried Krishna's body with soft white towels. He used a damp cloth to wring out the water from Krishna's hair. After removing Krishna's wet bathing garment, one servant dressed the Lord in a comfortable yellow dhoti. He presented an attractive diaphanous yellow chadar, means very thin, to cover Krishna's or Shyam's broad chest. Another servant crowned Krishna's head with an elegant white turban. One servant drew the finest tilak of scented sandalwood on Krishna's forehead. He then smeared Krishna's body with a fine ointment of Hari Chandan, mixed with camphor. Many cooling things, huh? Now we can't imagine, because it's so cold already. But Krishna, I guess this may be summer season, coming back from the pasturing grounds and the plains. Very hot evening, I suppose, hot afternoon. So all these things are very refreshing. One fortunate boy decorated Krishna's graceful limbs with the appropriate jeweled inlaid ornaments and tied gem-studded gold bangles on his lotus feet. Krishna clutched the right hand of a dear friend in his left and sauntered into the dining hall. Removing his jeweled slippers, Krishna humbly and affectionately bowed before Nanda Maharaj. Apparently when Krishna's in a forest, he doesn't wear any shoes. But when he's in his palace, he wears some jeweled slippers. You often see this in Kavi Karnapur's writing, and of course this is Kavi Karnapur. It's included here. He apparently goes around the house in some little house slippers, gold jeweled inlaid slippers. Not exactly chapels. So. Krishna humbly and affectionately bowed before Nanda Maharaj. He sat down. Before Krishna sat down, Nanda lovingly embraced him and smelled his head. Krishna took his father's permission to sit on the royal seat. Shortly later, Balaram, having been served for a long time by his personal assistants, appeared and offered respects to Nanda Maharaj. The king of Braj entered a boundless ocean of joy by warmly embracing his beloved Balaram. This is 624 to 648. Oh, we're a little slow here. We're behind the scenes here, behind the times. Krishna and Balaram's meal. Rohini, who is the mother of Balaram, after expertly preparing the evening meal for Krishna and Balaram, came out of the kitchen and announced, "Mother Yashoda, the cooking is ready." The excited young servant girls, taking their cue from Yashoda, happily placed the plates, water jugs, and jeweled seats in their proper places. Krishna, Balaram, and Madhumango bathed, dressed, and applied unguents. Then they quickly came to the stately dining hall. Mother Yashoda seated them and happily served fragrant cold water, tasty sweets, and three kinds of foods to be chewed, sucked, and licked. Yashoda served the Sidhu Keli and other sweet cakes cooked by Radharani. In the afternoon, Radharani had prepared some sweets, which she sent for the evening meal. When Yashoda said this, she said, "Oh, boys, these are your favorite dishes, so eat with gusto." The boys' five senses submerged in the nectar ocean of the sweets, form, fragrance, taste, and softness. Madhumango bellowed while munching his food. "Oh, mother, if one smells these cakes, he will disregard heaven and liberation." "Fie on the creator, for not giving me an unlimited belly." "Furthermore, I consider anyone who says, 'I don't want any more sweets,' I consider him to be the worst offender." Krishna and the other boys laughed at Madhumango's jokes and made each other laugh as they ate and drank. Upon finishing their meal, they did achman and relaxed on luxurious beds. Krishna and Balaram's clothing and ornaments had become spoiled from eating. They really ate with gusto. They got right into it. So they exchanged them for fresh ones. They totally polished off their outfits, you know. They ate everything and all over the place, you know, yogurt and sweets, rice all over the place. They had to like change their clothes after they ate. The divine boys carefully washed their feet and freshened their mouths with spices. Now, 648 to 824. Krishna milks the cows. In the fourth chapter of Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj, he explains what is the difference between love and lust. When acharyas give commentaries on this particular chapter, they say that this is a chapter that explains the difference between love and lust. So that's established in the very beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 4. So that when one reads Nati Lila, of the fantastic displays of pure love of Krishna, the mood of Radharani and Radha Bhav, then he'll have some understanding of what this source of this love. It's a very, very important chapter. Because, of course, love, when we say the difference between love and lust is of this realm, of the material world, and the spiritual world is made of love, divine love, or prema. So how do prema bhaktas think? How do they act? That's all revealed here. Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. Jai 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 Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra.
Jaya Jaya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra.
Gadadhara. Where am I going? I'm mixing my mantras here. Radhe Radhe. So first we have to establish the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purna Bhagavana Avatare Jai Kale Arasava Avatara Tantaya Simile. When a complete Supreme Personality of God at Purna Bhagavan, there's Bhagavan, there's different Bhagavans, but Purna Bhagavan, when we say complete, that means Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, Purna Bhagavan, descent. When the complete Supreme Personality of God descends, Purna Bhagavan Avatari, all other incarnations of the Lord meet together within him. Savavatara Mili. This is the same as Hindi, it's Bengali. Milan. Savavatar, all the avatars, all Das Avatar, Narayan, Vishnu, Ram, everyone is inside. And then that's a what he says, and then he explains who they all are that's inside of the Lord. Purna Bhagavan, this Lord Chaitanya is Purna Bhagavan. Narayana Chaturvyuha Matsyadi Avatar Yugaman Vantara Avatara Jata Jatsayar Savasi Krishna Ngehaya Avatirna Aiche Avatari Krishna Bhagavana Purna. So Lord Narayan comes inside Lord Chaitanya, the Chaturvyuha, which means Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Then Matsi, an Adi Avatar, all the Das Avatars beginning with Matsya, who is the first one. Then Leela incarnations, Yuga Avatars, Manvantara Avatars, and all the different descents and Avatars, they all come in the body of Krishna. In this way, the complete Supreme Godhead, Lord Krishna Himself, appears. Ateva Vishnu Takan Krishna Sharir. Vishnu Dware Kare Krishna Asura Samhari. Asur Samhar. Samhar means completely take away. That's a very beautiful way, poetic way of saying kill you. If I say I'm going to kill you, you know what that means. But if I come to you and say, I'm going to completely take everything away from you. Or I'm going to take you completely away from everything. What do you mean exactly? So this is called Parokshavad. Parokshavad means an indirect way of saying implied meaning or indirect way. It's more in Sahitya, or you can say Sanskrit Sahitya or literature. It's a very beautiful way of describing things. For example, instead of saying sandalwood, in the Kavya literature they say Malayaja. Malayaja. The Malayan hills or Malayan hills. Ja means Janma, that which is born from the Malayan hills. So they rubbed Malayaja on his forehead, that which means sandalwood paste. So that is like, they use these kind of terms. They're very beautiful terms. So he's saying here, Asura Samhar. Hare means to take away, and Sam means everything. So Krishna, Vishnu Dware Kare Krishna. So this is the Dwara, the Vishnu Dwara by Vishnu. Krishna kills, takes everything away from the demons, Samhari. In other words, he kills the demons during Krishna Lila with his Vishnu aspect. So, Anusanga Karma e Asura Maran e Lagi Avatara Kai se Mulakaran. Killing demons is a secondary reason. Now I will speak the main reason for the Lord's incarnation. It says Mul Karan. Mul means Dasa Mul. Mul means root, the root cause. So sometimes people say, as is said in Bhagavad Gita, Yada Yada Yadharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Bhita Namanamasya Tadatmanam Sujamyam. Krishna says in chapter 4, verse 7, that whenever and wherever there is a decline in religion and a predominant rise near religion, at that time I advent myself. I appear in this world to establish the religion, religious principles. Which means usually I kill a lot of demons, non-devotees, Gnostics and Pashandis, enemies of the Lord, and especially enemies of the Lord's devotees. The Lord doesn't mind so much enemies himself, because everybody in the material world is an enemy of God. Because they're going against his will. And the son becomes an enemy of the father if he goes against his will, although he's still the son. So the living entities in the material world are all also the sons of God, but they're enemies in the sense that they've gone against his will, expressing their own independent will. His will is for everyone to love him and to serve him and be happy in that way. But because we have free will, we choose not to, and we try to find happiness without God. And we get some happiness, but we get a whole lot of trouble too. So it behooves us to turn our face to God and find unlimited happiness, ananta sukha. So this, generally people think that's why Krishna comes. Ram comes to kill Ravana and rescue his wife and restore religion. And Nrisimha comes to kill Hiranyakashipu. And all these different avatars, they come. And Krishna comes to kill Kans Mardan, Kansari, and re-establish the Yadavas in position and establish Arjuna and the Pandavas in charge of the world and rid the world from the non-devotees like Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra. And Kans and Jarasandh and Shishupal. But actually, this Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying this is secondary. And when he's Purna Bhagavan, when he comes, all these avatars within him, and that's their work. It's like the managing director, he has his line of action, and then the foreman on the production line has another line of action. So it's a factory, of course, the MD, the managing director, it's his factory, but he's not there pouring the mixing the iron ore, making the steel bars. But it's his steel factory, Jindal Steel Factory. But Jindal's not down there pouring the iron ore. He's only going to the bank, depositing the cores, signing the contracts, and making the bridges and whatnot. So the same thing, Krishna has his mulvakaran, his main cause, why he comes here, and why he does whatever he wants to do personally himself. But for killing demons, that's secondary, and he doesn't do it himself anyway. That's not his work. Vishnu is doing it. Vishnu killed Kamsa, Vishnu killed Putana, Vishnu killed Bakasura, Vishnu killed Agasura, and all these demons in Krishna Lila. And Krishna has his main reason. And what is the main reason? Prem ras niryas karite aswadan. Rag marg bhakti loke karite pracharan. It says, Prem ras niryas karite aswadan. Aswad means to taste, to relish, to enjoy prem ras. Ragmarg bhakti loke karite pracharan. Prachar, I think you know. That means preaching. He wants to preach to the loka, to the people, ragmarg. Rag bhakti, the path. Marg means the path of the way. The way of rag, the way of love, the way of being attached. How to serve Krishna with attachment. How to serve Krishna with the attachment of the Vrijavasis, Vraj bhakti. The Lord's desire was born from two reasons. The Lord wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellow of love. The niryas means the essence. Prem ras niryas. And then he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. So Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, wanted to teach Rag Marg, Rag Bhakti, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. He wanted that. That was his mul karan, primary reason. So in the second half of the verse, Rasika Shekara Krishna Parama Karun Eidui Hitu Haite Ichara Udgam. Thus, Krishna is known as supremely jubilant and is the most merciful of all. That's very interesting. For these Dui Hetu, for these two causes or purposes, Parama Karuna, the most merciful Krishna. And we have that song about Lord Chaitanya, right? So this verse is describing Krishna and also especially Lord Chaitanya. Parama Karuna Pahandui Jana Anitai Gora Chandra Savavatara Sarashiromani. Right? How's it go? Kevala Nanda Kanda Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrida Vishrasa Kori. So this beautiful song we used to sing so much describes Parama Karuna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not only Karun, because Radharani is Karunamayi, but when Radharani combines with Krishna in a mood of Audarya, Audarya means overwhelming magnanimity, overflowing, a flood of generosity, overwhelming, overflowing magnanimity. This is Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Audarya. Krishna's Madhurya. But when Krishna's Madhurya combines with Radharani's Karuna, then it becomes Parama Karuna. It becomes the topmost Karuna, because it flows. Radharani is made of Karuna. She's Karuna Mayi. Mayi means made of. She's full of Karuna and compassion. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a fountainhead of compassion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a spewing forth like a golden volcano. He's erupting like a golden volcano. He's spewing forth like a huge fountain, and he's sprinkling his Karuna on everyone. Not only everyone, but even on animals in the forest of Jharkhand, on tigers and deer and elephants and snakes and all kinds of envious creatures and natural enemies are becoming loving friends. The lions were kissing the deer and the deer were kissing the lions due to the effect of Nam Sankirtan. This is Parama Karuna. This is the most extraordinary expression of Karuna. So when Radharani's Karuna combines with Krishna in the form of Mahaprabhu, then it becomes Parama Karuna and it expands all over the world, and we're living examples of that. We are sitting in this room, are recipients of the Parama Karuna, the Audarya, the overflowing generosity, the fountain, the spewing fountain of generosity that's been sprinkled on us by the mercy of our Guru Parampara, and who is carrying those drops of water from the fountain of youth, fountain of love, fountain of youth known as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Prem Purushottam. This is the Prem Yuga. This is Prem Yuga. Because the antithesis of, this is the age of fighting, so fighting is due to hatred and anger and hatred. So the antithesis of this is love. So this, knowing that this is the age of fighting and hatred, this is the age of dvesh, envy and hatred, man to man to woman to woman, family to family, village to village, country to country. So much hatred here. So the antidote for hatred is love. If you have too much sugar, then you need some salt. Right? You have to take some Eno. Some sodium bicarbonate or something. Or some sodium chloride. Some salt. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's come in this age of hatred. But you can't fight unless there's hatred to a smaller, larger degree. So it's the age of quarrel. Quarrel means fighting, and fighting is based on hatred. So when there's love, there's harmony. When there's love, there's unity. When there's love, there's no fighting. So this is Lord Chaitanya. He's come to counteract this age of Kali. So it's called Prem Yuga. There's Kali Yuga, which is the age of hatred, and there's Prem Yuga, which is the age of love. The age of love meets the age of hatred. So who's going to win? that we have to see. For those that surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and enter into that sea of his compassion, then they get swept along by the waves of his compassion, and they come up to the shore of love. And the shore of love is part of the land of love, and the land of love is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the land of love. Everyone and everything in Vrindavan is connected to the center. The center is the pleasure of Krishna, and that's the meaning of love. Love means to please the center, satisfy the beloved outside of yourself. So Vrindavan is called the land of love. So pray when love means two, Radha loves Krishna and Krishna loves Radha. So when they combine as one, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they become the epitome of love, the zenith of love, the Mahabhav. And the Bhav by nature is full of ras, full of flavor, full of taste. So when you combine Rasaraj Krishna with Mahabhav Radharani, then you have Rasaraj Mahabhav Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to this world to inaugurate this age of Prem, the Prem Yuga. So we say, oh, wait a minute, how is it? What is this Prem Yuga? I've heard of Dwapara Yuga, I've heard of Sat Yuga, Dwapara, Treta, and I've heard of the Tri Yuga Avatar. And Ram came in Treta Yuga, Krishna came in Dwapara. And I heard there's a Leela Avatar that comes in Kali Yuga named Kalki. Kalki Avatar, he comes with a sword, he's a Kshatriya, and he kills everyone. All the Gnostics and Pashandis and demons and atheists, he kills them all. And then again initiates a Satyuga, the age of truth and light. But I never heard about this fifth age. Yes, there's a fifth age, and you've probably never heard about Panchama Purusharta either, have you? You only heard Chatur Purusharta or Char Purusharta. Purushart, the desirable things for human beings. Human beings want Dharma. Some want Dharma. Some want art, wealth, money, power. And some want sense enjoyment. Dharma, art, common, some want liberation, freedom. So this is the Char Purusharta, the four desirable things. But Lord Chaitanya has come to introduce a fifth age, a fifth yuga. A fifth yuga and a fifth art. Panchama art, Panchama Purushart. Panch means five. What? There's something beyond Dharma? There's something beyond Kaam? There's something beyond art? There's something beyond moksha? Moksha, there's something beyond that? Beyond mukti? What is this? Yes. Yes. There is something known as Prem. So this is the fifth goal of life. Prem. Prema Pumartha Mahan. Prema Pumartha Mahan. This is the greatest goal of life, love. In fact, life without love is not worth living. Right? Think of that. Life without love is not worth living. Living. So therefore, real life means love. And the highest and life, we want to live eternal. So eternally, so therefore we must search for eternal love, spiritual love. And so Lord Chaitanya has introduced some new goal, some new attainment. Madhvacharya didn't do it. Madhvacharya didn't do it. And Ramanujacharya didn't do it. Shankaracharya didn't do it. And Nimbark, and who is introducing? Who's introduced this idea? Everyone else said, what about mukti? Introduce mukti. Do bhakti to get mukti. Give up bhakti, do bhakti. Do bhakti, get mukti. Give up your bhakti, do bhakti. Take out the bhu and get bha. Bhu, bha, mu. Bhu, bhuk, bhak, muk. Mukt. Bhuk, bhak, muk. Bhuk, bhak, muk, bhuk, bhak, muk, bhuk, bhak, muk. Give up the bhukti, do your bhakti, and get mukti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, forget it, man. Forget it. Nadana na jana na sundaram kapitam bha dukadisha kamaye mama janamani janamani shvare bhavatad bhaktir hoitaki twayi. Janmani, janmani, ishvare, bhavatad bhakti. All I want is bhagavad bhakti. Janmana, janmana, birth after birth, I only want this. In every life I ever have, I can take 1,000 lives, in a high form or low form, any form, here, there, anywhere. As long, but I have one request, my Lord, please. Ayi nanda tana shikint karam. Please keep me fixed in some service connection with you. Even at your feet, and your feet and the ground and the dust, anything, piece of dust at your feet, anything, Let me be connected with you, whether I'm an insect or a bird or a flea or a fish or a porpoise or a donkey or a deer or an ant or an elephant. Ant or an elephant. Smallest to the biggest. All in the ant family, right? Ant or an elephant. An elephant is a big ant. Elephant and ant. So he's saying, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Venu Bhajana Anukula. What is the one song, Bhakata? He's saying, Kita Janma Hal. It doesn't matter, even if I'm born Kita Janma, Kiya Janma. If I'm born an insect, I don't care. Let me be born in the house of the devotee. So this is the point, that this Prem Yuga is right, we're in it. Right in the middle of this dark age. This is the black age, the iron age, the Kali Yuga, the age of hatred, the age of fighting, the age of quarrel. And Lord Chaitanya says, no, wait. There is an island in the middle of the ocean. There's no oasis in the middle of the desert. These phenomena happen. You're just lost in the vast ocean. Help, help, where am I? Where am I? All of a sudden you see an island. Huh? Ye kya hai? What is this? And you swim over there and you get relief. No more crocodiles, no more sharks, no more whales, no more stingrays, no more. And then it's just a tropical island. And there's huge mangoes and papayas and coconuts and all kinds of passion fruits and lychees. There's a fruit called passion fruit. Lychee and all these things. So you eat those things and then you get some relief. So that's a fact. In the middle of this Kali, this ocean of Kali, there's an oasis. In the middle of this desert, in the middle of this ocean, this Kalair Doshan Adhegaraja Nastiyek Mahaganan Kirtanadiva Krishna Sevamukta Sangha Paramvrajat. Kalair Doshan Adhegarajan. Kalair Dosha, this Nidhe. Nidhe means ocean. Now in the middle of this ocean, there's Mahagun. There's one good island. The Harinam Island. Nam Sankirtan Island. Nam Island. Like, you heard of Hawaiian Islands? Hawaiian Islands, Philippines. It's probably said Philippines. So this is, I have just come from the Philippines. Like pine tree, right? Pine tree, Philippines. I've just come from the Philippines. So then there's Nam Island. The name, if you take shelter of the name, then you'll get out of the ocean of samsara. So this is Chaitanya's unique gift that he's come to brought to introduce his Prem Yuga, which means in the age of darkness, in the age of iron, in the age of hatred, in the middle of that ocean, he's introducing an island. And the island is this Prem Yuga. Prem Yuga is full of light, golden light, and it's full of love, and it's full of peace and happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment and harmony, justice, charm, beauty, and sweetness. So this is the age, we say the age of Aquarius. Right, the hippies had this idea. The dawning of the age of Aquarius. But actually, it's the Prem Yuga of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and which is being told here in this page right here. It says, Prem ras niryas karita yashwaran rag marg bhakti loke karita prachan. I want to taste the essence of Prem, which is Radharani's love. Krishna has come to taste the essence of Prem as the Mahabhav. That is the Niryas. Prem Niryas is Mahabhav, Mananakya Mahabhav, Radharani. It's total madness. Losing oneself in the plane of madness, in rapture, divine rapture, absorption in Krishna. So that now, when you become, if you become so absorbed at eating something, if you're eating some fruits, and just some mangoes, and you're eating and chewing it. So when you're relishing that taste so much, you don't consider how you're eating, what fashion or what style you're eating. You're lost in relishing that aswadan. Prem, ras, niryas, aswadan. Tasting. So while you're doing that, you're not very attentive. You're absorbed. So you're while you're chewing and slurping this fruit and chewing it and munching it, so much spray is going here and there. Even when you're simply talking, if you're talking, so much little drops of saliva go here and there everywhere. Imagine when you're totally mad over eating and relishing the taste of some delicious, scrumptious, mouth-watering, wonderful foodstuffs.
Like Mango.
So then all this going spreading all over, the saliva and little pieces of food and little drops of mango juice. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually does his prachar. This is how he does his prachar. Rag marge bhakti, it says rag marg bhakti loke karite pracharan. I will do pracharan. This is how I will do it. The loke means the loka, means the people on the planet. Rag marg bhakti. Bhakti in the mood of rag. Not vidhi, not rules and regulations, but bhakti of the heart. Feelingful devotion. Bhakti of the heart. Bhakti of attachment. Meaningful, feelingful. TLC, bhakti with tender loving care. Yeah. This I will spread. And how will I spread it? Because I'll be tasting the highest form of that bhakti. Prem ras niryas aswadan. I will be tasting the niryas, the essence of that prem ras, and I'll be so absorbed in tasting that invariably so many drops and little squirts of nectar will go here and there. And anyone who gets one of those drops, they will take up this rag marg bhakti prachar. This is how they will do. How they will take it up. So this is the mool karan, the main reason for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming here. And Rasika Shekara Krishna Parama Karun Eidui Hetu Haita Icharut Gaham. Prabhupada's purport. During Krishna's appearance in this world, the demons or non-believers, asuras like Kamsa and Jarasan, were killed by Vishnu, who was within the person of Sri Krishna. Such apparent killing by Lord Sri Krishna took place as a matter of course and was an incidental activity for him. But the real purpose of Krishna's appearance was to stage a dramatic performance of his transcendental pastimes at Brajabhumi, thus exhibiting the highest limit of transcendental mellow in the exchanges of reciprocal love between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. So Krishna came to put on a drama. The Rasalila is a drama with five acts. The five chapters are of Act 1, Act 2, 3, 4, and 5. Panchadaya. Five chapters. So this is Lila means drama. It's a performance. Like our Indra, he does his performance, his kirtan performance, 6:30 to 7 or something like that. The audience comes. The main audience is Radha and Shyam, like presiding king and queen. And then their attendants, Lalita Vishaka, and Krishna's brother also comes, Balaram. But he stayed a little bit apart. He can't get too close to Krishna when he's with Radharani, so he keeps a respectable distance. And then that same Leela is going on. Ananga Mandri and Nityananda is there, and Gauranga. And Prabhupada's watching the whole scene. He's in the border region there watching. And he's actually orchestrating the whole thing, at least in that temple. So he's the choreographer of the drama and the temple there. So then all the praja, all the king and queen, their loyal servants come from Delhi and Bombay and Russia and America, I guess, and they all assemble over there. Then Indra does his performance. It's like a drama. It's really a drama. So this is the real purpose. Krishna came. He came to stage a dramatic performance at Brajabhumi. This is Brajabhumi. And by doing that, he showed the highest limit, paramasima, of transcendental mellow and the exchange of reciprocal love between the living entity. Living entity means the jiva. Jiva Bhagavan Jiva Sambandha. Prem Sambandha. The exchange of love between Bhagavan and Jiva. He showed, yes, this is possible. You can have this loving exchange with me to this extent. To this highest extent in Brajabhumi. This is the highest possible expression of love. This is the zenith of affection. The epitome of divinity expressed in the front of the eyes of the men and women of this world for all to see, for all time to come. It's a beautiful purport. These reciprocal exchanges of mellows or rasa or sacred rapture are called raga bhakti or devotional service to the Lord in the transcendental rapture. Lord Sri Krishna wants to make known to all the conditioned souls that he is more attracted by raga bhakti than vidhi bhakti or devotional service under scheduled regulations. It is said in the Vedas, Taittiriya Upanishad. It's a very interesting Upanishad. There's thousands and thousands of Upanishads, but generally they say there's 108 major ones. So there's actually thousands. Unlimited. I mean, they have even recorded several hundred. So this particular Upanishad, Taittiriya, was spoken by two birds. And Taittiriya is a type of bird. Like we have Chiriya. Chiriya means sparrow. So Taittiriya means two Taittiriya birds. Two Taittiriya birds sat on a tree and they spoke this Upanishad. And they must have been pretty great, pretty smart birds. They didn't have bird brains. Generally they say someone with a small brain is called a bird brain. So what did they say? They said Rasavai Saha. A very often quoted aphorism or sutra. Rasavai Saha. The absolute truth is a reservoir for all kinds of ras. Rasavai means he is verily ras. He is also causelessly merciful, and he wants to bestow upon us this privilege of rag bhakti. Thus he appeared by his own internal energy. He was not forced to appear by any extraneous force. So that's Krishna's mercy. He came to show the rasa dance. Please, you know, come to me, love me, surrender to me, serve me. I'm Ras, and this is my rasa dance, Rasavaisaha. And he's a reservoir of reciprocal love. And he wants to give us this privilege of rag bhakti. This is Prabhupada saying. It's a pretty amazing purport. Written in 1975. 25 and 32 years ago. So what, you know, what's this? Is this something, just some wasted space over here? He wants to bestow upon us this privilege of rag bhakti. That's a pretty strong statement there. No, this rag bhakti is just three books, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Aishwarya Ganete Sava Jagat Mishrita Aishwarya Shitala Preme Nahi Mora Prita. Krishna was thinking. That's pretty good, huh? Krishna's Kaviraj, he knows what Krishna's thinking. Because he's Kasturi Manjari. Kasturi Manjari is his sorup in Krishna Lila. He's a Manjari. And Gaurlila, he's a Kavi. He's a poet. Aishwarya Gyanite Sabha Jagat Mishrita Aishwarya Shitila Preme Nahi Mora Pita. Krishna thought, all the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty. But love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. Aishwarya Gyan Mishra Bhakti. Bhakti which is mixed with knowledge of my Aishwarya. Cognizance, awareness, oh, he's God, he's so powerful, he's so great. We should worship him, we must bow down to him. It's not sub-jagat. The whole world has this idea, Aishwarya Gyan. They have this knowledge, they're aware, they know. They know about my majesty, my grandeur, my omnipotence, my I'm all powerful, I'm the supreme personality of God. Aishwarya Shitala Prem. The Shitala means weakened. But such love is crippled, it's weakened by it. It's not Nahi Mora Prita. It's not pleasurable. It's not preety. I don't like it. Amare Ishwaraman Apanatehina Tara Prema Vasha Ami Nahaya Adina. If one regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. So someone thinks, oh, God is Ishvara. He's just, and what am I? I'm Hina. I'm very low. I'm just a servant of God. God. Oh my God. Amake tayeye bhakta bhaje je bhav tare se se bhave bhaje e mora sabhav. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That is my natural behavior. You love me, I love you. So Krishna reveals himself before his devotees according to their inherent devotional service. The Vrindavan pastimes demonstrated that although generally people worship God with reverence, the Lord is more pleased when a devotee thinks of him as his pet son, personal friend, or most dear fiancé, and renders service unto him with such natural affection. The Lord becomes a subordinate object of love in such transcendental relationships. Such pure love of God is unadulterated by any tinge of superfluous non-devotional desires. Pure love of God, it is unadulterated, not mixed with, any tinge of superfluous non-devotional desires. Excuse me, Bhakti Joe. I've been watching your behavior in the temple over the last few days, and it seems to me that you're being infected by superfluous non-devotional desires. In other words, you're in Maya. Usually we just say, Bhakti Joe, it seems that you're in Maya. But now we can say, actually, Bhakti Joe, you're infected by superfluous non-devotional desires. To be technical about it, superfluous, really, I think you've become infected by superfluous non-devotional desires. Is that right?
No.
So pure love of Godhead is unadulterated, not mixed by any tinge of superfluous non-devotional desires, and is not mixed with any sort of fruit of action or empiric philosophical speculation. This means karma and jnana, right? Anyana bilashita shunyam jnana karma adhyanavitam anukhyena krishtanu shilanam bhakta uttama. Anyana bilashita. Right, the ta. Remember that ta? The tendency. It is pure and natural love of Godhead, spontaneously aroused in the absolute stage. This devotional service is executed in a favorable atmosphere, freed from material affection. This is a really powerful chapter. These are probably the verses and purports are dynamic. It should be more one reads it, the more he'll understand the difference between love and lust. This chapter, everyone, all the different Gaudiya Acharyas say, this is a chapter that explains the difference between love and lust. Ye yatamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham mama vatmana vartante manushya partasarvashah. In whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. Fourth chapter, Gita, verse 11. Mora puccha mora saka mora pranapati e babaje more Kareshu Bhakti Apanake Bharamare Apanake Bharamane Amare Samahina Sebave Hayami Tahara Adina. If one cherishes pure devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great, and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, three kinds of devotional service are described: ordinary devotional service, bhakti; pure devotional service, shuddha bhakti; and vidha bhakti, mixed devotional service. When devotional service is executed with some material purpose involving fruitive activities, mental speculations, or mystic yoga, it is called mixed or adulterated devotional service. Besides bhakti yoga, the Gita also teaches karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. Yoga means linking or joining or connecting with the Supreme Lord, which is possible only through devotion. Karma, fruit of activities ending in devotional service; jnana, or philosophical speculation ending in devotional service; and the practice of yoga or mysticism ending in devotional service are known respectively as karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. But such devotional service is adulterated by the three kinds of material activities. So this is a philosophy here. For those grossly engaged in identifying the body as the self, karma yoga or pious activity is recommended. For those who identify the mind with the self, I am the mind, I think, therefore, I am. Who was that? That was one of
Descartes.
I think Descartes, one of the famous Muda philosophers. Famous Muda philosophers of the 20th century. I think, therefore, I am. Well, bravo. Shabash. Very good. Bhadia. Bill Cool Teak. So those guys should do, you know, jnana yoga. But devotees standing on the spiritual platform have no need of such material conceptions of adulterated devotion. Adulterated devotional service does not directly aim for love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, service performed strictly in conformity with the revealed scriptures is better than such vidha bhakti, or mixed devotional service, because it's free from all kinds of material contamination. It is executed in Krishna consciousness solely to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are spontaneously devoted to the Lord and who have no aims for material gain are called attracted devotees. They are spontaneously attracted to the service of the Lord, and they follow in the footsteps of self-realized souls. Their shuddha bhakti, pure devotion, manifested from pure love of Godhead, surpasses the regulative principles of the authoritative scriptures. Sometimes loving ecstasy transcends regulative principles. Such ecstasy, however, is completely on the spiritual platform and cannot be imitated. The regulative principles help ordinary devotees rise to the stage of perfect love of Godhead. Pure love for Krishna is the perfection of pure devotion, and pure devotional service is identical with spontaneous devotional service. Flawless execution of regulative principles is exhibited on the Vaikuntha planets. By strictly executing these principles, one can be elevated to Vaikuntha planets. But spontaneous pure loving service is found in Krishna Loka alone. So there Prabhupada's telling basically that if one does Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and attains to the level of Prema, but he doesn't do any Rag Bhakti or comes to that mood of attachment to the Lord in a personal way, then he will go to Vaikuntha. But until he comes to this platform of actual attachment to the Lord in the mood of rag, personal relationship, thinking himself equal to or greater than the Lord, that kind of intimacy, if he doesn't develop that kind of intimacy as a very formalistic, reverential mood of love towards the Lord, God is great, I am small, he is the master, I am the servant, Ekalishvara Krishna Arasavya Vritya, he is the one Ishvara and everyone else is servant. He has all this royal mood of grandeur and Aishwarya Gyan. Then, of course, that's good, but he will only reach Vaikuntha at best. This is called Shitala Prem, crippled love. His love is crippled by formality, crippled by reverence, crippled by the sense of hina, feeling very fallen and very worthless and unqualified. And Krishna just says, okay, you get out of here. You stay on Vaikuntha somewhere. Don't bother me. I don't like people like you. You know, I don't like a bunch of fan. I don't need a bunch of fan wavers. I have so many people to wave the fans. I don't need more people waving fans up here. I want someone I can wrestle with, someone I can play with, someone I can laugh with and joke with, and someone I can take food out of their mouth and put my food in their mouth. And I want someone that's going to get on my shoulders, and I want someone that's going to make me carry them on my shoulders. I want someone that's going to boss me around and throw me on the ground. You know. And make me eat dirt, make me cry, uncle. I want someone that defeats me in arm wrestling. So this is Braj. So unless one agrees to develop this relationship, he can't have that intimacy or close proximity to the Lord. He'll be cast down to Vaikuntha. He won't be in the inner circle. He won't be in the concentrated center of love and devotion of Braj. He'll go to the outer region. The outer region is part of Yom Vaikuntha. Mayi bhaktir hi bhutanam amri tattvaya kalpate jishtya yarasina asin matsneho avittina maraparaha. This is 1082.44. This is the inhabitants of Vrindavan meet the residents. This is a solar eclipse. The inhabitants of Vrindavan. The Krishna meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra. So this translation is, this is actually Krishna when he met the gopis there. He hadn't seen them for 100 years. Technically, he had been in Mathura and Dwarka. Mathura, he was there for 17 years. That's easy to figure out because Jarasan. Was it Shishupal? No, Jarasan. Who attacked every year? Jarasan, right? Jarasan attacked every year. So then that was 17 times. That means Krishna was there for 17 years. Because after the 17th time, Krishna booked out of there. Krishna relocated. He moved his entire dynasty and everyone to Dwarka. So he's 11 years in Braj and 17 years there. And then he was 100 years in Dwarka. So it's like that. So after not seeing Krishna for 100 years, they saw him in Kurukshetra. And then Krishna met with them and he spoke to the gopis. They went there for the Grahan, Surya Grahan, solar eclipse. And he said, "Oh gopis, hey Sakhi." Mayi bhakti, my bhakti. Devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. Mayi bhakti hi bhutanam, bhutam amrita tattvaya kalpate. It's amrit. If someone renders service to me, that service transforms into nectar. Bhakti transforms into ras, bhakti ras. Devotion, serving Krishna transforms into bhakti ras, and ras becomes nectar, ras amrit. Bhakti ras amrit sindhu, right? We start with a bindu, or bindu means drop. We start with a drop of devotion for Guru and God, for Guru and Krishna, a drop. and we perform some service. It's called commotional service. It's supposed to be devotional service, but it's commotional. The devotion is free from the modes. Devotion has to be mantra yobicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Saganan samatitya ten brahmavaya kalpate. So bhakti must be saganan, must be without the modes. So that's pure bhakti. Real bhakti is pure bhakti, and pure bhakti is beyond the gunas. So this commotion means raja, means passion. So we're doing commotional service. Commotional service, a lot of commotion, a lot of motion, a lot of movement, but not much emotion. A lot of commotion and no emotion. Motion, but no emotion. Motion means movement, mechanical. Vidhi, rules and regulations, running here, running there. So it's called commotional service. Eventually, as we inject feelings into our commotion, it becomes emotional service. Then emotional service becomes devotional service. And when it becomes pure devotional service, or shuddha bhakti. Right? So this is what Krishna is looking for. So he's saying here, mai bhaktir hi bhutanam. He's saying, oh gopis, devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. So this is amritatva, amritatvaya. Amrit means nectar. So this, as I mentioned, when we serve Krishna, then that drop of service, eventually that becomes, that devotion, mayi bhakti becomes amrit, becomes nectarine. The bindu becomes a sindhu. Now we taste a drop of bhakti, but someday we'll swim in an ocean, bhakti rasa amrita sindhu. Oh, my dear damsels of Braj. That's a very nice phrase Prabhupada uses. My dear damsels of Braj. That's a gopis. Your affection, your sneha for me is your good fortune. For it is the only means by which you have attained my favor. Manapana. Manapan. Bhavatinam. Sneha. Sneha man. Pranaya rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. So sneha is a flow. Sneha means oil. Snigda. Snigda means glossy. Snigda means glossy, shiny. Snigda. So sneha is shining. It's a type of love or prem, and has this quality of glossiness. Glossiness, shininess. It's a glow. When one has this sneha or affection for the Krishna, it becomes shiny. It becomes effulgent. So this Krishna is telling the gopis and Kurukshetra, he said, listen, you're wealthy. Your wealth is not cow dung patties. Gopis make cow dung patties, gober. They have them stacked up. You see in the village, stacks and stacks of cow gober. And Krishna was very happy when he saw the stacks of gober. It's described in Ananda Vrindavan Champa when Krishna walked out of the village in Borvan Lila from 8:36 in the morning until 10:48. As he left the village and would pass through the smaller villages, he would see the stacks and stacks of gober that were piled up by the gopis, and he would smile and feel very happy, very satisfied to see the culture, the village culture. So this is a form of wealth also, because they can sell nowadays one gober, one cow pizza. One cow pizza or one gober, it fetches like 1 rupee now or something, 50 pice or something. It's quite costly.
Two for one rupee.
Yeah, when I was in Radhadamodar, you can see inflation, and maybe pretty soon it'll be on the stock exchange in Bombay. Gober selling today. Gober selling for 1 rupee 1. You know, okay, buy, sell. When I was in Radhadamodar in 1989 to 1992, we did seva there in Prabhupada's rooms, and they were selling gober 10 paisa for one. That was only 15 years ago. Now it's 50 paisa one. So even stool is going up. There's even inflation. Inflation with stool, huh? hard to believe that stool would go up in value also. Gold is going up in value, silver is going up. Silver is more costly, even stool costs more. Unbelievable age, Kali Yuga. You should invest now, and you know, you could have doubled your profits. So what Krishna is telling the gopis, he's saying, Dishti yadasin matsneho, your sneha for me, dishtya, this is your good fortune, is your affection for me, is your wealth. This is your wealth. Oh, you have no money, you have no stocks, bonds, insurance, this or that, but you have Krishna sneha. You're shining, you're glowing, you're glossy with love for Krishna. This is your sneha. So, and listen, gopis, this is your good fortune, this is your wealth, your sneha for me. And this is the only means by which you can attain me. Only by this love. Bhakti mama vijanati yavanyashtasmi tattvataha. Krishna says in Gita, 18th chapter, 54 verse, he says, Bhakti mama vijanati. I can be jana, Bhagavan jana. Bhagavan jana, if you want to know Bhagavan, then you need bhakti. Bhakti abhijanati, abhijanta, complete abhijan. If you want to fully know him, you have to have love. Because if you love someone, you become intimate with someone. And if you become intimate with someone, it means you're close to someone. And when you get close to someone, you find out all the secrets. Oh, do you know when I was young, I used to do this. Oh, you did? and then we used to do this. Oh, you did? So these are the secrets shared in loving confidence. Loving confidence. Confidential. Prem Guya. Rahasya. So lovers will whisper in their ears all kinds of secret things and untold episodes of days past. So Krishna wants this type of relationship with the jiva. He wants this type, and he has this type of relationship with the Brijavasis, especially the Braja Gopis. So intimate. So he's saying, listen, my dear Gopis, you have purchased me, oh Braja Damsels, you have purchased me with your sneha. This is your fortune. And you've captured me with this. What more? Prabhupada explains. Pure devotional service is represented in the activities of the residents of Brajabhumi, Vrindavan. During a solar eclipse, the Lord came from Dwarka and met the inhabitants of Vrindavan at Samanta Panchaka in Kurukshetra. The meeting was intensely painful for the damsels of Brajabhumi because Krishna had apparently left them to reside at Dwarka. But the Lord obligingly acknowledged the pure devotional service of the damsels of Braj by speaking this verse. So it appeared externally, materially, that the gopis' only wealth was cow dung. That's the only thing they can claim to be theirs. The only thing they can say, yes, this is ours. This cow dung is ours. We collected it, we picked it up, we carried it on our heads, we patted it, we mixed it with some busa, and we slapped it on the wall and put our handprint on it. It's ours. Signature model. Signed, autographed with my fingerprints. Proof that it belongs to me. The cows are owned by their husbands. The land is owned by God. The water and air are owned by God. The only thing the gopis have is a gober. Their only wealth is stool. Cow stool. Not any kind of stool. So they don't have any stocks, they don't have any bonds, they don't have any cars, they don't have any land, they don't have any movable property or immovable property. Of course, sometimes the stool falls off the wall. When it dries off, it falls off. If it dries out, it falls off the wall, then they stack it up in little stacks. So this is the only wealth they have, but Krishna is saying, forget about it. I don't measure your wealth externally. I don't consider anything externally in terms of pounds, shillings, or pence. I'm looking for the internal wealth. The internal wealth, the heart's reserve. The heart's reserve. What is a reserve in the heart? Federal Reserve Bank. Right? In a America they have. I don't know what they have in India. What, well, they have National Reserve or something?
Reserve Bank of India.
Reserve Bank of India. RBI. Reserve Bank of India. So the gopis have a reserve bank of Krishna. a reservoir of love in their heart. A storehouse of love. Prem Nidhi. So this, what Krishna is saying, you have this sneha, Krishna sneha, and by this affection, by this tender, sweet affection you have for me, you have purchased me, you have attained my favor. So that's even the richest man in the world, the only way you can actually attract his attention is not with money, but with something intangible, something that he may not have, and something that he may not be able to get his hands on, and something that he can't purchase with all the wealth in his command, and that is tender love, an affectionate glance, a sweet word, a kind heart. So Krishna, he's Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigra Anadi Radha Govinda Sarvakarna Karnam. He's everything. Ishvasyam Idam Savam Jagadat Vyaktimurtina Aham Savasya Prabhava Matasava Pavate. Matak Prataram Nanyat Kinchidasti Dhananjayat. Everything is strung on him like pearls on a thread. And he's the support of everything, the creator of everything, the controller of everything, the owner of everything. But he's saying, I want your love. I want your sneha. I want your affection. And he's telling the gopis, this is the only means by which you have attained my favor, by your sneha. So I think that's all for now. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Vishuddha Prem ki jai, Sri Kevala Bhakti ki jai, Sri Braja Bhakti ki jai.